This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. And now, a story about devotion to God, the spiritual life, and really good beer. For the past 63 years, the monks at St. Joseph's Abbey in Spencer, Massachusetts, have followed the same routine. Prayers at 3:30 in the morning, work from 9 until noon, more prayers, then rest, then more work in the afternoon, and then more prayers. But lately, that quiet contemplative life has gotten a bit of a jolt. Not far from the Stone Abbey, with its lovely bell tower pushing toward the winter sky, is a brand new state-of-the-art brewery.
Sure, the brewery is a change.
This is Father Isaac Keeley, the director of the brand new Spencer Brewery. Trappist monks have a long tradition of brewing beer, but this is the first Trappist brewery in the U.S. And for the 63 monks in Spencer, it represents an effort to remain financially viable.
For us, the primary intention was to be able to follow through on our basic commitment to be self-supporting, to earn a living by the work of our own hands.
Father Isaac wears a traditional monk's habit, glasses, and a generous smile. And he begins a lot of his answers the same way.
Okay, so...
Did you hear that?
Okay, so...
Well, you'll hear it a lot in this story. It expresses Father Isaac's enthusiasm for this new devotion to beer and his generosity as a guide.
So we're always concerned about how to keep the whole thing going in a financial way so we can go about the things we're more interested in.
For years, the monks in Spencer have sold their own jams and jellies, which has been a pretty successful enterprise. But despite their cloistered ways, the monks are not immune to the laws of economics, including rising costs. So they needed an additional way to support themselves and their charitable work, which started them thinking about beer.
One of the brothers who entered many years ago entered the monastery with significant level of beer interest when he arrived. And he kind of cultivated that idea among us for more than 10 years.
Wait a minute. He talked about it, promoted it
for
like 10 years. He really wanted to do this.
Oh, yeah. For 10 years in really subtle, quiet ways. And gradually the idea got some traction so that when we get serious about trying to do some long-term planning, this kind of among the monks easily made its way on the agenda. Once the monks really thought we should do a brewery, we had to convince the abbot and his board of advisors who were not interested in a brewery. So one of the brothers had the idea, let's brew a Trappist beer, package it nicely, and give it to the abbot's board of advisors as a Christmas gift. And when they drink this, they're going to like it, and we'll get a shot at doing a brewery.
So is that what happened?
That's what happened, but we had to find somebody to help us. In the end, we got a hold of Dan Paquette from Pretty Things, Pretty Things Beer and Ale Project, and his friend Dave Ciccolo, who owns the public house in Brookline. Dave was so excited, he opened up the public house for us at 11 in the morning, and Dave says, well, you have to have a beer. And he came out with a St. Bernardus Apt 12 on draft. Here's this big, dark, heavy beer at 11. I think, oh, my God, you know. And then I tasted it, and I said, this is beer. And for me, that's really, I call it the beer that converted me.
It converted the abbot as well. So the monks headed to Europe to learn all they could about brewing from their European brothers. And the result, this sleek, modern brewery nestled in the woods of central Massachusetts.
Okay, watch out for the fork truck. It's the most dangerous piece of equipment in the building. That's my mantra. I'm always saying this, but it is.
It's a sparkling, metallic, 36,000-square-foot building with state-of-the-art brewing and bottling equipment from Germany.
Our Belgian brothers strongly advise us to buy the best equipment we could, and maybe even something a little bit more than we could afford. Okay, we'll move through here.
It is a beautiful, modern, ultra-mechanized process here. How does it fit in with what you've done traditionally? Or does it represent a sort of dramatic change from what you've done traditionally?
The technology piece kind of is part and parcel of monastic life. in order to get the work done to go on with the other dimensions.
You mentioned that you've been here for 30 or so years.
Yeah.
Is there part of you that is surprised today that you're an expert beer brewer?
Well, one, I wouldn't call myself the expert beer brewer.
Well, you know more than the average person. Let's put it that way.
I do. I have to. So I have to, and I like to. If you had said to me 5, 6 years ago, could I imagine myself doing this? The answer would have been no. I was a kind of a long-term potter, and I had a lot of time available to put into my pottery. Wow. And I lived a very quiet, contemplative life. By then, I was in my 50s, so I thought, that's probably going to be the program for the rest of my life. And then this project came along, and it's really changed things.
In a good way?
So, you know, I at this point of the process, I have to say, absolutely.
I mean, the reason I ask that is you mentioned several times, quiet, contemplative life. Now this is a major business, 1.3 million bottles of beer a year. You know, does it risk changing the nature of what's going on out here?
You notice the brew house is a pretty quiet place. Now that we're really doing this on this scale, it's even more understandable to us why monks in Belgium made this a really integral part of their way of life for centuries.
Oh, that's interesting to hear. Now, why is that?
Well, you know, brewing is there's a kind of contemplative dimension to this whole brewing process. It's repetitive. You want to be really precise about it. You have to take your time. One of the most interesting parts of the brew process is at the very end, before you turn it over to the yeast, there's the rest. And, of course, that's really part of the contemplative life, this rhythm between work and effort and then rest and quiet. So some of that's really built into this process. So there is this rhythm to it that really fits.
So what's the next step? At some point, we need to have a look and taste this beer, don't we?
We do. We do.
Sorry, I didn't mean to sound impatient there.
I can see your interest, so that's great. We share that interest.
Father Isaac leads us into the reception area to a long wooden table where there's a beer tap and an 18-inch ceramic monk, rotund, smiling, holding a sign with that little-known 11th commandment, "Thou shalt not steal beer." I can't believe you have a problem here of monks stealing beer, though.
So I hope we don't. I don't have it yet, but you know, people are people.
Of course, yeah.
Okay, so we want to hear that. We want to hear that little psst. Now this doesn't have any head on it, so I better just do a little something here. There we go. So, you know, head is important. It keeps the flavor in the beer while you're drinking it. Plus, it helps to release the aroma. So when you go to drink this, you know, you have that nice nose.
Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers.
I want to ask you, to what extent beer is now a regular part of your life, of the life of the monks here? I mean, do you imbibe daily, weekly, monthly? How does it work?
Since we wanted to do a refectory ale, an ale that the monks would actually drink, and we want to kind of grow a beer culture in our community, so we now are going to be drinking, have started drinking the beer on Sunday evenings at supper as well as on major feast days. So far, the monks seem to like that.
Yeah, I can imagine. How about you?
Oh, I like it very much.
It'd be tough to be a master brewer and not like beer. And with good reason. The Spencer Ale falls well within the tradition of those fine European Trappist brews. Fruity, not too hoppy, with a 6.5% alcohol kick. And if it's not already clear, Father Isaac loves to drink it, even at 10 in the morning, and to talk about it as well.
I kind of talk about, and I drive some people crazy with this, I talk about the golden center. When you taste a Trappist beer, I think there is a kind of taste profile which communicates a certain wholesomeness, a certain sense of quality. There's always a certain level of nutritional value as well as a taste that's pretty memorable and pleasing.
I agree. And I'm not just saying this to flatter you because I'm here, but I've always loved these Trappist ales. Yeah. What's special about these ales?
So, okay, I'll just talk about ours.
Yeah.
Okay, so, of course, I'm probably have a little bit of bias about ours.
For which I forgive you.
Okay, okay. First of all, it's just the color. We wanted something that was kind of a golden color. I said I want it to look like sunrise down at the Cape, maybe out near the Nauset Lighthouse, around September when there's a lot of mist on the ocean. Kind of golden, not absolutely clear, just a little bit of a cloudiness to it. Second is fragrance or aroma. I think it's very hard to pull apart. The beer geeks are going to talk about banana and clove and all these pieces, and that's okay. But I think there's a unitary aroma which you go, you know, just communicates for me quality.
So you know what I like about this beer and the Trappist ales in general is they're not too hoppy.
Okay, well, thank you. Belgian beers in general, and Trappist in particular, the emphasis is on balance. Yeah. So we don't want any one of the four major components of the beer to really dominate. Our kind of philosophy is that if you work towards balance, you can have a simple recipe, but a surprisingly complex taste.
Father Isaac, thank you so much. This was really fun, and the beer is really good, and congratulations to all of you.
Okay, yeah, you're very welcome, and thanks for coming out and the conversation and the beer with us. Have a great day.
Father Isaac Keeley is the director of the Spencer Brewery. For now, the Spencer Trappist Ale is only available in restaurants and stores here in Massachusetts. But the monks say one day their golden brew could move beyond this state, God willing. And you can see pictures and read more about the lives of the monks at St. Joseph's Abbey and about their beer brewing story at radioboston.org.
Radio Boston is a contemplative and effervescent production of WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Have a great evening. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.